We're going to look at the first 10 verses. And the reason we want to do that is I want us to realize that the most important thing we have is our salvation. I want to say to you that if you've ever stepped foot in Haiti before on a mission trip, you wonder if the people there remember you. And I want you to know that when I was there this past time, I was shocked at the number of people that could remember all of the people that came on certain trips at certain times. And you made a lasting impression on those people. And they ask about you by name. And they would ask how you're doing. And I have to admit, on some of those trips, when Jason was pastoring in Florence, and some of the people from his church went, I couldn't even remember their name. And they were naming them off. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then trying to explain that we live in different towns and I don't see them. But if you've ever gone, you've not been forgotten. It's astounding you've not been forgotten. Now, when we look at Ephesians chapter 2, it's about salvation and it's about the work of Christ. And the reason I want to use this passage of Scripture today, for any of you who've ever been in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, that's not where Jordan lives and that's not where we stay, but that's where you have to go in and out. It is the nastiest place on planet Earth. It is the nastiest place on planet Earth. You take their sewage that's out in the street, and then, and this is not an exaggeration, garbage piled up as high as this pulpit, the length of a street. And on one end of that trash pile is a pig snorting around, eating. There's goats in that thing. There are dogs that are so dab blasted skinny, you gotta hold them up to a light, you could see through them. And people all digging around looking for something to eat. And when you see that, it affects you. As many times as I've been, I'm telling you, it breaks my heart to know that people are trying to get there before the pig does. And it's awful. And the stench and the smell and all that stuff is awful. And when we got to Ephesians chapter 4, we're not going there today. But it's the work of the saints. So chapter 1 is the work of God. Chapter 2 is the work of Christ. Chapter 3 is the work of the Spirit. And chapter 4 is the work of the saints. And you have a man look at you, and he didn't ask you for anything. He didn't ask you to do anything. But he looked at you and said, my family is starving. The people in my church are starving, and you want me to do what? You better know what you believe, people. You better know what you believe. And so when we look at this passage of Scripture today, with as much oomph within me, this is a gift of God right here. And to be able to look at a man who looks you in the face, who doesn't ask you for anything. He doesn't say, can you give me a dollar? Can you sponsor my church? Can you help me? He just says, my family is starving. You better know what you believe. You better know in the sufficiency of grace. You better know in the sufficiency of Christ. Because if you don't, you will turn around and walk out and say, I don't know either. And the gift that God has given us is eternal life. The sufferings on this earth are real. There is nothing we can do about them other than what God calls us and empowers us to do. But I will also say, and at the end of this message, this is coming up, but I'll also say we can't do nothing. And the thing that's been said many times is each one of us has one life to live. And each one of us has one life to give. And we better give it to what matters. We better give it to what's going to be important in eternity. I'm going to ask you if you're physically able to stand at the honor of reading of God's Word. And I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to tell you this in my humble opinion, which is all that it is my humble opinion. These are some of the greatest words in the Bible. That's my humble opinion. You don't have to hold it, but this is some of the greatest words in the Bible. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we turn our attention to spoken word, God, we bow before the God who is able. We bow before the God in this very passage of Scripture in chapter 3 says, to him who is able. And God, we know that you can. And so, God, as we look at this passage of Scripture today, I pray that we would realize, Lord, the gift that you want us to have. But, God, I also pray that we would realize the responsibility that comes with it. And, God, I pray that we would use it for your glory. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Today in this passage of Scripture, we're going to be looking at the work of Christ. In the end of chapter 1, which is the work of God was to establish Jesus as Lord and Savior over the church. The first thing that Paul says that Jesus does is he makes us alive. And when he makes us alive, we become a part of the church universal, the church that always has been and always will be. So when we look at this passage of Scripture today, the first thing that we see is Jesus wants to make us spiritually alive. And we realize that because of sin, God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. It's very important to realize the Bible says Adam lived to be over 900 years old. Adam did not physically die that day. So the question is, the Lord said to them, in the day you eat of it, you'll surely die. How did they die? They died spiritually. And this is very, very, very important. Just because we're walking around, that means we're physically alive, it does not mean that we're spiritually alive. And I want to say to the children that are in here today, please, for the love of the Lord God who died on the cross to save us from our sin, and for the sake of your soul, would you please listen? I want you to listen. Don't listen to me. If you didn't bring a Bible today, there's some in those chairs. If you're not in the chair, slide over by somebody. I want you to look at what the Bible says. The devil is a deceiver, all right? That means he will stand right in front of us. We will know something. He will take that, twist it, give it back to us, and he's so good at what he does, we'll accept with full, not even question what he says. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you before we start, here's a problem we run into. There's probably not anybody in this room today that will not say that you have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Probably wouldn't come on a day, you know, day of tropical storm going by. You got a pretty good reason to stay home. So, you're going to say, Jesus died on the cross. So, forgive me, that's fine. Listen, but this is where the devil deceives us. Salvation is a work of God. Salvation is not a work of man. Salvation is a work of God. God is the one that puts salvation inside of us. And we say, well, preacher, I know that. And I know that you do. But when we voice what we believe, the first thing we'll say is, well, I said a prayer. And here's the problem. It's God's work, not ours. And let's see what the Bible says that the Lord did. And let's let the Lord do his work. And as a result of his work, let's do ours. And what you'll have is biblical salvation. So, the first thing, if you're taking notes, the first thing that the work of Christ does is it allows spiritually dead people to be made spiritually alive. Look at verse 1. It says, and you, he, made alive. First thing right out of the gate. Figuring to repeat myself already. We cannot save ourselves. Salvation is a work of God. It is not the work of man. It is not something we do. It's not something we earn. It's not something we deserve. It is a gift that God gives to us. It says, who were dead in their trespasses. What that means is that we were living a life in complete opposition to God. We were of no value to God. We were of no need. God had no need of us, and there was nothing we could offer to God. And still, God did something for us. We were dead in our trespasses and our sins. And when the Bible uses these two words together, it is saying to us in the most simple terms that can be expressed in the Bible, there is nothing worse that we could have done or been in the eyes of God. All right? Very important. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All means all. Do you know what the number one thing we have in common is? We are all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. You work all week, what do you want? Give me my money. I worked all week. If we got what we deserved, we would get death. The Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, I'm going to repeat myself. Most every person in here would say that we are saved by the blood of Jesus. But when explaining how, the first thing they'll say is I, not he. All right, did you get that? All right, I, not he. I said that prayer. I was baptized. I believe. I think. I feel. I hope. I. How about he? How about he? If we can get the he right, the I will fall in place. But we got to get the he right. Because, notice, this is how we know if we've been made spiritually alive. Look at verse 2. A person has been made spiritually alive by Christ. Number one, has a change of course. Look at verse 2. He says, in which you once walked. That means you used to live your life one way, but now you live it another. And I would like to say to all of us, beginning with me first, if you have not had a change of course, you're still spiritually dead. Right? You are spiritually as dead as a hammer. Right? Spiritually, you will die and you will spend eternity in hell. And from this moment forward, I'm going to point at myself, this moment forward is our fault. Because we know. He said, you once walked according to the course of this world. You know what that means? Just doing what everybody else does. Right? Just doing what everybody else does. And then he says something even more profound. According to the prince of the power of the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We can't go back and do Ephesians 1 again. But in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14, the Bible says that the guarantee of salvation is we have the seal of the Holy Spirit, which means we have the Holy Spirit's seal upon our life. And what he's saying in this verse is the contrast between a saved person and a lost person is the saved person has the Holy Spirit of God and the lost person has the spirit of the sons of disobedience. Do you know that person that just won't stop sinning? Oh, they'll come to church. But they will not stop living in open rebellion to God. It's because they have the spirit of disobedience that works in them. And what we have to realize is the first change that takes place biblically, according to this passage of Scripture, in a person's life is a spiritual change. Okay? I want you to make sure you hear this. It's a spiritual change. The change is from the spirit of the sons of disobedience to the Holy Spirit of God. And until a person makes that change in the context in which this is written in the book of Ephesians, that person has not been saved. All right? So, if you think when I was 8, I said that prayer, and because I said that prayer, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I can live my life any way I want to, that might be what you say, but that is not what the Bible says. Amen? So, a little situation came up with a pastor, and he was talking in great terms about what the Bible said. And I finally just had to say to him with love, because, you know, we had a lot of fun. There wasn't a crossword said, but I just finally said, can you show me that in the Bible? And he just started laughing. Because at the moment I said that, he realized that's nowhere to be found in the Bible. And I will say that one of the greatest lies that the devil has told and gets mileage out of in a Southern Baptist church is, you can be saved and get mad and act any way you want to. That dude's got some miles out of that. You can be saved, and you can live your life however you want to. And I know there's children in here, but you can be as promiscuous. You can do whatever you want. But you said that. It's not what the Bible says. And we're going to get the why in just a minute. Always remember, the next verse says, not only do we have a change of course, but we have a change of conduct. Look at verse 3. He said, among whom we all once conducted ourselves, and then here it is, in the lust of the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So, what he tells us then is that not only do we have a change of course, but we have a change of conduct. And that means that you and I, those of us that have been filled with the Spirit of God, the spirit of the disobedience is out, the Spirit of God is in, that means that we are going to live ourselves, we're going to conduct ourselves differently from the world. Before, when a person is not saved, they're free to do whatever they want to do. There's nothing to restrain them. There's nothing to stop them. But when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are people who are filled with the Spirit of God. And as a result of being filled with the Spirit of God, we don't act the same way. And this is something that's super important. I don't really like to do it, but I will say to those of you who still go to junior high school, whether you be homeschooled, whether you be public school, private school, wherever you go, listen to me. Listen to the word. Don't listen to me. Look in your Bible. If there's not something different about you, you don't need to question your salvation. What you need to question is whether you were ever saved to begin with. Listen, we got to realize, adults, if you go to your job and you are the exact same as every person at that job, you really better look inside of yourself, because the devil is a deceiver. The devil, his greatest hope is that we would never have exposure to the Bible, to the grace of God. But his greatest success is when we have exposure to the grace of God, but we misinterpret it. And we believe that we're saved, but our course of our life says we're not. Our conduct says we're not, but we say, even though we're now in our 50s, we say, when I was 8 years old, I got saved at the Cold Springs Baptist Church. And so what we then have to realize is our course and our conduct has to line up with the Word of God. In the end of Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, it names off the whole list of things that are the works of the flesh. But the most important part of that is at the end of the verse where he says, I also told you in past time that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so what we then have to ask ourselves is, does our course and does the conduct of our life, does it represent a Christ? Does it represent the Spirit? Or does it represent the world? And when we know the answer to those things, we know full well whether we've ever received the Spirit of God, whether we've been approved by Him. But look at verse 4. The third thing is, we experience God's unconditional love. This is one of the greatest verses in the Bible, in my humble opinion. It starts out simply with the word but. That is a contrasting word. He's contrasting the course of this world. He's contrasting the conduct of unsaved people. And he's contrasting that with what God wants us to have. And he said, but God, who is rich in mercy. And that word rich means abounding. When the Bible uses the word mercy, it is compassion. But it is compassion in action. And it says, because of his great love with which he loved us. This is what's amazing. When you and I were of no value to God, he didn't need us. There was nothing that he needed to do for us, but he knew the spiritual condition of our soul. And at that moment, he decided to do something for us, even though he was under no obligation. And the reason he did that is because he loved us. Now, here's two things. The first one is, We have to acknowledge that there's absolutely nothing we can do to make God love us more. Nothing. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing we can do to make God love us more. But the second thing is, we have to acknowledge God loves us too much to let us do whatever we want to do. And so that's the two things that when you balance out the love of God, you have to balance out. Wait a minute. You mean I don't have to stop whatever so God will love me? No. God already loves us. But when we know that God loves us, that is the power to change. The power to change, it comes from the fact that God has done a work in us. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. All right, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says we were no value. We were a rotting, decaying corpse, and God did something for us. And notice the Bible says that He made us alive. And this is what's very important. If you're going to understand this passage of Scripture and how salvation works, this is what you have to realize. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible said that God formed Adam from the dust of the ground. I just believe it because the Bible says it. But it means, you know, He kind of puffed him up some and I guess gave him some legs. I don't know exactly what He did. But the Bible said that man was just dust. That's all he was. And the Bible says that God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and it said he became a living being. Now, what you have to realize in the Bible, the word breath is the exact same word that we translate spirit. That's what it is. That's what spirit is. It's the breath. And so when God put His breath into that pile of dirt, you know what He became? Our greatest grandfather. That's what He became. And just like God put His spirit inside this lump of clay or dirt or whatever it was, dust, and it became a living being, how do you think we become spiritually alive? We become spiritually alive when God puts His spirit inside of us. Now listen, do not let any preacher tell you anything other than this truth. God does His work first. And then as a result of what God did, then His work begins in us. His love starts to take hold of us. And we start to say, wait a minute, I can't act like that in the name of Jesus. Wait a minute, I can't go there. Wait a minute, I can't do that. I can't treat people like that because not I want to be saved, but because I am saved. Listen, you can't measure the difference in that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, a couple things have become different. All things have become new. That means we treat people differently. That means when they treat us bad, we still treat them differently. When they don't do what we want them to, we steal. Because when the Bible uses the word creation, only God creates. God does not rearrange. God doesn't say, let's slide this down, let's slide this up, let's get this here. No. He, wipes the slate clean. Wipes the slate clean. And listen, it's very important that we understand. I do believe a person ought to be baptized. I do believe that a person ought to just pray all these things. But we do these things because the work of God has been done in us, not because we want the work of God to be done in us. Did everybody get that in the rain? All right, I got to tell y'all something really funny in the rain. No matter how hard it's raining when we go out of church, if you could have seen the look on my face, this would have been worth it. Okay, listen, I believe that the Bible talks about spiritual gifts. I believe the Bible lists tongues as a spiritual gift. I don't have that gift. I don't look up at people that have it. I don't look down at people that don't. But I don't have it. Man, listen, those pastors, they in Ephesians chapter 6, we were talking about the devil, and boy, they were fired up. And so there's a verse in Isaiah 54, and it talks about that no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, and it talks about no word. And man, I was getting a little carried away myself. This was on the last day. I'd been hot for so long, you know, outside in that block metal building. And man, I don't know. Denominations never come up down there. I don't know what denomination they are, and I really don't care. You know, I certainly don't want them to be Southern Baptist, you know. And my interpreter goes out of sight, away from me. I see him out of the corner of my eye, and I think, even though I didn't speak in tongues, I think I called my interpreter too. Does that count? That's what I want to know. Does that count? Is that the same thing? I don't know. I have to ask Jesus in heaven. But he was going that way, and I mean, he had his back turned to me, and he was having church over there, man. And so I wasn't sure which language he was speaking, so I was looking at them and like, uh-oh, I don't know what they told me. I wouldn't know anyway. I just carried on. But I'm telling you, I think through an interpreter, I can officially say I've spoken in tongues, and I really enjoyed it. So I won't know till I get to heaven, but I think I did. I mean, it was quite awesome to see him kind of, he was kind of gyrating going that way. I don't really know how to explain it, but you should have been there. But this is what is important. God's work is done first.
Amen.
Salvation is a work of God. And the number one way the devil wants to deceive us is, listen, you know you're saved. You know you said that prayer. Look at how much money you've put in that offering prayer. Look at. And the problem is, we got to look to the source. And the source is Jesus. And if we look at anything other than the source, we're going to be deceived. And we have to realize every one of us is dead in our sins and dead in our trespasses. And that is exactly where we should be, because that's where the Bible said we were going to be. And as sinners, we are dead in our trespasses. I want you to think about this for just a second. If you've ever been in a situation and you wonder, why do I act like that? If you've ever been in a situation, why do I continue to do? Why don't I stop? I know I should. Why when I get mad? Why? You ever thought about, maybe it's because the devil deceived us and we've never been saved? Maybe for our whole entire life, people have tried to justify our conduct and justify the way we live, when maybe we need to be justified by Jesus. Maybe we need to just say, Lord, I can't possibly call myself a Christian all these years and still act like that. I can't do that, God. Why? Why does it not bother me? Why am I thinking about this now? Why? And listen, what you might realize is some preacher, as well-meaning, and his name might have been Jeff Walker, but as well-meaning as that preacher was, he said, look, if you want to be saved, look, you just got to say this prayer, and you just got to mean it with all your heart. Blah, blah, blah. The work of God has to be done in our heart first. That's why when I talk to people about salvation, one of the first things when I try to ask them is, what's God saying to your heart right now? And the reason is, if God is not speaking to your heart, and I tell you, you need to say a prayer, I just told you a lie. I just did the devil's work. I just deceived you, and I don't want to deceive anybody. And we have to realize it is a work of God. It is not the work of man. Matter of fact, let's just keep going. He just keeps making it even plainer. Look at verse 6. This is what he said. He says, and he raised us up together. So he makes us this new creation. He saved us by his grace. And this is what he says is going to happen to him. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we know that when God's work is done, what it's going to ultimately result in is through that work of God, through the work of Christ, that we're ultimately going to be made alive together. And not only is it going to be spiritually alive on this earth, but it's not going to end until we're with Christ in heaven. And notice that when his work is done, the fourth thing is we'll enjoy the riches of his grace today and forever. It says that in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to pump the brakes here with me just a second. I trust that you're looking at a copy of God's Word. But if you look at that verse, The verse says, God is not through blessing us yet. And it doesn't say that God's blessings have a limit. It says that God is going to continue to show us the exceeding riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know what? If you believe this verse and you take it at face value, when we have been in heaven for 268 gazillion years, we're going to still go, wow. Oh. Whew. And I would offer to you, it is going to be mind-boggling and mind-blowing. But what we have to acknowledge is whatever is available to us in heaven is available to us today. And if we're not experiencing it today, then we're not going to experience it then. And if we're going to experience it today, we can then. If we're going to experience it then, we can today. And what we have to not ever let anybody do is cheat us out of the kindness of God's grace that He's told, that He's made available to us. Because look at verse 8. This is how it does. This is how it goes. Our salvation is by grace and it's not by works. And Paul just simply writes, for by grace you have been saved. Now listen, that word, grace, it means by the unmerited favor of God. It means that we have not done anything to deserve it. We have not done anything to earn it. God just gives us a gift. And that gift is called grace. It results in our salvation. Our response to God's grace is what? It's right there in your Bible. Through what? Through faith. What comes first? Grace or faith? Grace. Absolutely. Grace comes first. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's like Paul knew what we were going to struggle with. And what did he put at the rest of the verse? Not of. You know what? You know what is going to keep a person out of heaven? If you choose to die and spend eternity in hell, do you know what's going to keep you out of heaven? Yourself. Amen. That is exactly what is going to keep you out of heaven, is yourself. And it's going to be because you knew, but you said, nah, it'll be fine. Not of yourself. Listen, I'll just offer this very humbly. There are far too many Southern Baptists who are self-righteous, not God-righteous. And the difference goes back to verse 2. The difference is their course, and verse 3 is their conduct. And when we understand the love of God, when we understand, I didn't do a single solitary thing to earn it. It's not mine anyway. I can give it to anybody I want to. I'm never going to run out. There's an inexhaustible supply, and it's not of myself. It is the gift of God. And we have to realize that when we receive the grace of God, we receive everything we need to serve the Lord. Everything. At the moment the Holy Spirit put His seal of approval on your life, you received everything you need to serve the Lord. There is no excuse. And we're going to talk about that next week. But verse 9 says, it is not of works, lest anyone should boast. All right? Now, I've told this illustration 680 times. This is the 681st, and I still like it because it's true. So I apologize for those of you that have been here for all these 17 or 18 years I've been a pastor, because it's still true. When me and Julie, when Jacob was growing up, he had a dear friend. But this boy's mama, I'm telling you, whatever our son did, her son always did something that much better. And she would always brag on her children. If my son made an 80, her son made an 81. You know, whatever it is, you just go down the line. And the reason I like the illustration so much, do you know how sick I got of her doing that? She's a wonderful person. I still consider her to be my friend today. I mean, I do consider her to be my friend. She lives down on the coast. Every now and then I hear from her and her husband doing good. But do you know how sick he got of that? I mean, real sick. Real sick. Sometimes I just be wanting to mess with him. He made 75. Oh, my son made 76. Oh, I'm in 86. No, just kidding. Here's the thing. This is why this is so important. This is why this speaks so deeply to my soul. Could you imagine living across the street in eternity from somebody that did something to get to heaven? You know what you'd have to listen to for eternity? How great I am. Not how great thou art. For eternity, they would brag about how much money they gave to the church. For eternity, they would brag about their Sunday school lessons. For eternity, they would brag about their singing. For eternity, they would brag about their sermons. And after a while, he'd be like, shut up. I don't think you can say that in heaven. Yeah, stop. Would you be quiet? I don't want to hear about that anymore. And the great thing that the Lord assures us through Paul, that's not going to happen. Everybody in heaven is going to be there for the exact same reason, for the exact same way. And if a person chooses to miss it, it is their own doing. And we have to realize, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, that by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by knowledge of the law by the law is knowledge of sin. And so what we realize is that there is no person that can or will or is able to save themselves. But look at verse 10. When we are saved, the Bible says that we are his workmanship. We are something made by him. When we become a new creation, we have a new purpose. We have a reason. And that reason is given to us by God. And I want to say to all the young folks that are in here today, if you have genuinely in your heart received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is a purpose in your heart. It has been placed there by God. Now keep in mind two things. The devil does not want you to do that purpose. He does not want you to do it. That is the one thing. The one that's the most dangerous is yourself. You have to make the decision in your heart, I'm going to find out what the Lord God put me on this earth to do, and I'm going to do it. And I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody does. I'm going to do what God called me to do. God put me on this earth to do. And that's a decision that's made by the Lord. But we have to make a decision that we're going to do what God placed us here, because the Bible says that we were created, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepares beforehand that we should walk in them. And just like God replaces the spirit that's in the sons of disobedience with the spirit of God, all right, church, get ready. God replaces the purpose of our life that we thought we had with his purpose. Man, that's worth coming to church for right there. I need to start staying up more on Saturday night. I've been getting too much sleep. That's what's been wrong with my preaching all these years. Did you get that? It means God's got a purpose for us. God saved us for a reason. If we are not living that purpose, we are in disobedience. We have to do what God created for us to do. Can you imagine this? Fast forward 100 years. Can you imagine standing in the presence of a holy God? You walk into his presence for the first time and he says to you, well, how'd that ministry go? The answer cannot be what ministry. Come on, it's got to be more men than just Tammy. Amen? Hey, there ain't no... Are you talking to me? You know, that old classic. Did I ever tell y'all what I did one time when I was in a psychology class? I was not paying attention at all. I was going to Jones County Junior College. I was on a football scholarship, and I had no intentions of going to class, but they made me. And I had made this decision. I had made it many times in my life prior to this moment. You can make me do it, but you can't make me enjoy it. And I was in a psychology class, and I was not more paying attention than a man in the moon. I didn't care much for the teacher, and he didn't care much for me, and it was all my fault. So let's just get that said. And I had a friend sitting in front of me. He was there to play football, too. He was no more interested in it than I was, and so we were just biding our time. And, I mean, that class was just about over, and I was so bored. And, I mean, I just went, and I felt everybody look at me, you know, kind of cracked one eye open. And, like, everybody in the room is looking at me. And so I was like, this is not good. The teacher stops talking because now I've insulted him. So I didn't know what to do. So I just started staring at my friend in front of me like everybody was staring at me, and the teacher thought it was him. That was great. He wasn't even mad. He thought it was funny. That's how little we both wanted to be there. But when we stand before Jesus, there's no. God saved us for a purpose. We got to do it. We've got to do it. Listen, it is very important. Back to verse 4. This will start our invitation. Verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us," verse 5, "even when we're dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been served." I've been saved. There's really only one reason why people do or don't serve the Lord. A person can't know what God has done for them and say, "I'd rather watch TV." A person can't know the love of God and say, "I don't care enough to get involved." A person can't know the love of God and say, "Just let them suffer and let them die." The love of God moves people from being spectators to participants. And when we know God's love, we're not going to be satisfied until we know what God placed us on this earth to do. And I can't stand here, and you can't sit there, and we can't say we know the love of God, but have no earthly idea why he put us on this earth. And the thing that's important is, one purpose is not more important than the other. If a person has whatever gifts, the only thing that matters is that they use those gifts to the glory of the Lord. But I think it's important that we remember that when we serve the Lord, no matter the difficulty. We serve the Lord no matter what happens. In Matthew 5:11, the Bible says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." And we have to realize it's going to be really hard sometimes. There was a pastor down there, an old man, and, well, they're not as old as you think they are. It's that hard life makes them, make you think they're in their 80s and they're in their 40s. But that's the difference in there and here. But he talked about that some people that practice voodoo tied him up and liked to beat him to death. And they liked to kill him. They tried. But he survived. And we have to realize that in this life, that's what Jesus said was going to happen. I mean, that's what we were promised. And another thing that I think is very important is we cannot allow ourselves to become so hard-hearted that we refuse to get involved. Do you know what the easiest thing in this life to do? Pass by on the other side. When Jesus told the parable, the earthly story with the heavenly meaning, and he used the Samaritan who stopped and got off his donkey and he helped the man. The thing about it is the priest and the Levite, they both passed by. They both saw the man. But you know what they refused to do? They refused to get involved. They had duties at the temple. Their religious calendar, their religious watch says, I got to go, I got to go, I got to go. And the difference between them wasn't their nationality. It wasn't their financial ability. It wasn't their importance to God. The one that mattered was the one that was willing to get involved. And maybe I'm talking to myself now, but we have to be willing to get involved. We have to. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we bow before you today, God, we just pray that your will be done. God, it is so easy to sit in church and have never been saved, and we think we are, and we believe we are, and we want to be, and so then we think we must be, and none of that's what the Bible says. And so, God, for any person in this room, they know they never received the Spirit of God. They know your work has never been done in their heart. Then, God, I pray that you would speak to their heart, and then, God, I pray that they would respond. But also, Lord, I know that there are people in this room who know that they're saved. They know that you spoke to their heart. They know that your work has been done in their heart. And God, I pray that you would just speak a word of encouragement to them. And God, I pray that they would be determined, that they would just use this time to recommit their life to your purpose, knowing it might not be what their purpose is, and knowing that it might mean significant change in their life. But I pray that they would make it. So, Lord, we love you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, you hear all that hitting that roof? That's the blessings God wants to pour out in the lost person's life for being saved and the saved person's life for being obedient. So let the blessings fall in your life. Ryan, will you lead us, please? The only announcement I want to make is notice, or the couple announcements. One is the senior adult luncheon is going to be on Friday this week, so make special note of that. Hopefully some people that can't come on Thursday will be able to come. And the other one is Wednesday night, Lord willing, weather permitting, we're going to meet at the Cross Gates pool, and we're going to have a pool party, bring whatever's in the bulletin. But Miss Deborah is going to be baptized, and it's so awesome. I've heard her testimony, and her parents were baptized last year. Luke was able to baptize them, and so this year she wants to be baptized at the pool like her parents. And so the thing that was astounding to me about that was, because we've done those baptisms last year, there were others that were baptized, but the people at the pool specifically wanted to know if we were going to baptize. And so that's awesome that somebody outside of a church would even care about that. And so it's great that the Lord has spoken to her heart. Listen, I'll tell you this. If you know you need to be baptized, we're going to try to get together. We're going to get together with her before Wednesday to finish up the last few of the teachings and stuff. And Billy, that I want to make sure I talk to you about that before we leave. He's the deacon that's head over that. But if you know that you need to be baptized and you want to do it this Wednesday, if you'll let us know, we'll help you. That's what we're here to do. As long as it's the work of God, hey, we're all about it. So, Joanna, you want to make your baptism? BBS, hopefully some baptisms will come from it, but your BBS announcement.
Hey, thank you. I'm not a terribly loud talker. I just want to make a couple quick announcements about VBS. I just wanted to remind everyone that we have a meeting today after the service in the fellowship hall for all of our VBS helpers. Okay. Okay, right. Okay, we're going to have it in here. Okay. Yep, we're going to talk fast so we can get y'all on to lunch. Another quick announcement, we are going to have our room decorating contest judging this Wednesday, and I wanted to let everyone know we so appreciate everyone's help that came here yesterday to help decorate. We got our wonderful castle up, we decorated the hallways and some classrooms, and I believe we had 33 people here yesterday, including our littlest helpers. So I want to give a round of applause and thank you so much. We appreciate everything that everyone did yesterday and sacrificing their day off, and it was a lot of fun too. Speaking of, I want everyone real quick to get your phone out. We all worked so hard to decorate and make sure that all of the kids had a fun, but also an educational and learning time. So we want to get the word out and get as many kids here, not just ours here at the church, but get the word out. So if you have Facebook, I figured we could all share the event together all at once, and we all want to share it as much as we can. So if you have your phone, you can open Facebook and go to the Grace Baptist Church Facebook group. Not the family one, it's the one with the white logo.